All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's great to see y'all here this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing Mighty to Save with Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. The whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Alleluia.
Amen.
With me, how great is our God, and all. together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, thou, Lord, wast at our side, all glory be thine. We all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised. O Lord, make us free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we got one pick of him this evening. Huh? Escape tribulation, yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we got one pick of him so far this evening on 599. Jesus is Lord of all.
All my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All my conflicts, all my thoughts, Jesus is Lord of all. His love wins the battles I could not have fought. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my longings, all my dreams, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my failures, his power redeems, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Any other pick of hymns this evening? 358. All right. Because he lives, 358.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any others? All right. Amen.
All right. Anybody got any praises tonight? Oh, we're here. Amen. Yeah, you are.
I'd like to praise the Lord for getting me through that first round of dental surgery.
Dental work, man, yes.
I was there for 3.5 hours, and it was painful.
Oh.
Bruised my cheek. It's okay, but I got through it. Thank the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Any other praises?
Just that God's wonderful provision. Some of my fruit trees, or our fruit trees that I thought were dead, seem to be budding out. So
yeah, amen.
Praise his name.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful, wonderful time in Mexico.
Mexico City, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And it was just a wonderful time. The Holy Spirit was just moving. We had 108 souls saved.
Amen. That's
and
great.
And the pastors were so excited because they said two of the areas that we were in were just very hardened.
Yes.
That the national pastors were so excited.
Yeah, good for them.
And I'll have to just give real quick word of testimony. a fellow that was, he said he was trans, came in, and I took care of him.
Yeah.
Talked to him and told me a little about his private life, and was concerned about a special problem that he had. And we were just kind, and we just loved on him. And then when they leave the clinic, they go to the area to a tent to where all the church people and the pastors are, and they give them a lot of counseling, like one-on-one. They get the gospel. They get loved on
right.
so much. And I saw the tears fall after the assistant pastor spent like over an hour with him.
Yeah.
And he accepted Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm just so grateful. Things like that happened all the time. The Holy Spirit was moving, was so real, and we saw true conversions, and I'm just so very, very thankful.
Amen. When are you going to give your report? Want to do it next Sunday night? Let you look. I think she's home for a while. You working? All right, next Sunday night. Very good. Ministry report. All right, what else? Any other praises? Yeah, amen. Have you like cool weather? You got it. Yeah, all right. Amen. Amen. What else? Any other praises? Yeah, Frank. Yeah. Right.
He is making progress, but it's slowly.
Uh-huh.
But I have seen him since then every day except one. And I'm seeing a little bit of progress in his manipulation of his limbs, his hands, his fingers, his talking.
Yeah.
But I think, and the doctors are agreeing that there is progress. They have been doing some occupational therapy and a little bit of physical therapy. But they're hoping, and he's hoping, and his family is hoping, and his dear friend is hoping, that they get him in physical therapy as early as tomorrow.
Right.
And that may go on for three or four weeks.
Wow.
So Mr. Fancher is better, but I think he's still got a road to hoe.
All right, amen.
I'm thankful for that.
That's good praise.
We'll see how God handles it.
Yeah, amen. Amen. All right. Okay.
I picked up a coral snake I was throwing mulch with a fork.
Right.
And I'm very thankful that I didn't do it with my hands, because sometimes I do. So he's been dispatched to the
great beyond.
So, yeah, but yikes.
And you sure it was a coral snake?
Yes, I looked. I made sure.
Yeah.
Next to yellow killer fella.
Yeah. Is it black on yellow killer fella? Or
red and yellow.
Red on yellow killer fella?
And the other one's a king snake.
Other one's a king snake. So you didn't kill a king snake. Oh.
And so I had a minute. You know, I stepped back and I was like, oh, no.
Got to kill one.
Wow, man.
I
killed red.
Yeah, those are hard to keep on your property.
He was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they really, their mouths are so small, they're really only a danger to, like, small dogs and small children, but still.
My dog was running around my feet.
Yeah. Yeah. And you gotta send it on. Let the king snake go. Coral snake's gotta go. All right. Anybody prayer needs? Prayer requests?
What's that?
Prayer requests. Anybody got a prayer?
I'm gonna pray for my mother.
Okay.
Her left hip been really bothering her, and she does have an eye problem too. She's hoping she don't have to have no surgery on her eyes. You know, her eyes are getting worse and worse and worse.
Right.
But they fixed her up some new glasses, and she's going to try that. But she's been ailing a little bit, but she's in a good spirit. But I just want to lift her up. It's more.
All right, brother. Lead us home.
Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you give us again. We give you all the praise and glory and for all you've done for us, Lord. And we just lift my mom up to you. I told her I'd pray for her tonight and for her hip hurting her and, Lord, and her eyes bothering her, Lord. It's just a... This old age is just dragging on her, but she's still got a good spirit, and she's still hanging in there, and I thank God for that. I get to see her one more day. And
yeah, amen.
Lord, I just lift that up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, what else? Any other prayer needs? All right. What, Ron Wade's got one over there?
Pray for one of my coworkers. He's going through marital problems, and it's affecting his work.
Okay.
And so,
all right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift up this young man to you, Lord, that you give him the strength and wisdom to get through this problem with his marriage, Lord, and we just pray that he will get out of the depression and realize that he needs to be working and not lose his job over this thing, Lord. We just lift him up to you, Lord, and we just pray that you will give him the courage and the wisdom to think all this through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, amen. All right. Anybody else in prayer need?
I know Steph, pray for Larry. I'm going to
pray for Larry.
He's
okay. Got
to go to have an operation Thursday, right?
I think it is.
I think so, Thursday.
Yeah. I'm going to have carotid artery. Carotid artery surgery.
Yeah, I'll lift that up.
All right. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, again, we just lift this prayer request up to you. It's Steph's dad, again, has got to go through a surgery. And, Lord, we just pray that he's strong and healthy, Lord, before he goes in there, and just put the guiding hands on these doctors, Lord, and nurses, Lord, and all the medicine and stuff they give him, Lord, goes well, and he just comes out of this surgery, Lord, very serious thing, Lord, and just give him that strength and energy he needs, and pray that he heals fast through this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right. All right, anything else?
I continue to pray for Barbara McNew, and
good
to see Larry and his wife here this morning.
Yeah, amen.
Ronnie Holman, rather.
Ronnie Holman.
Yes, and his wife.
Nancy.
So, yeah.
Ronnie Nancy.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord. We're asking that you continue to stay in the midst of our church, Lord, and our people, Lord, that have ailments, Lord, that you would comfort them, give them the strength that they need, Lord, that they would be focused on you, Lord. We know as we mature, Lord, more troubles come our way in reference to health, Lord. So we ask that you watch over us, be the great physician.
Yes.
Lead all the doctors, all the people that we are in contact with, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Is that all? Got one here? Okay. Oh, you got one back there? Oh, she's going to pray for Justin? All right, you pray for Justin.
Yeah, I was going to pray for Justin. Father God, we come before you and just humble ourselves before you, giving you all the glory and honor for all things. And we just ask that you would be with Justin and,
and
heal his stress fractured bones, Lord Jesus, and just mend up those bones and whatever it takes to get him back on his feet again, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Just be with his emotional state and just help him not to get depressed. And that he would just continue to be a light to shine for all those around him who are also suffering injuries, Lord, in this new unit that they've sent him to. Just be with them, guide them, and lead them, and just provide for their will according to your purpose, Lord Jesus, in their lives. In your blessed and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Miss Terry's got one. Miss Terry.
I'd just like to request prayer for the national pastors. That there were two national pastors and then the missionary family that hosted us.
Yes.
The clinics were held each day at their particular churches, so the people in the neighborhood came to the clinics.
Right.
So there's a lot of follow-up decisions that they need to be able to reach these people to follow up, and that their churches would grow, and that the people, that those new Christians would find a place of to grow in the Lord.
Amen.
With.
Amen. So, you want to lead us in that
No,
prayer,
I'll let James lead us.
All right.
His mission?
Yeah, pray for the missionaries.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we just lift up these, all these people, the ones that work in this mission field, Lord, that put their life on the line. And Lord, and just, boy, to keep the spirit up and talking to people. And what would we do without missions, Lord? You know, and people like Terry just going everywhere and spreading the word of God, like she said, in New Mexico, Lord. But we lift this up to you, Lord, and to keep these things going for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right.
You know, I want somebody to pray for Kevin.
I'll pray for Kevin.
Thank you.
All right, is that everything?
That's it.
All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for these praises. We thank you for these requests, Lord. Thank you for the many prayers that have gone up tonight. Lord, as we close out our prayer time, we pray for James's son. We lift him up to you, Lord. We pray for his addiction. Lord, we pray you give him victory over that. We just pray that you help him be the man of God you've called him to be. And Lord, just undergird him and strengthen him. Help him find a support group. Lord, help him get into a group. Find a sponsor that will help him and encourage him, hold him accountable, Lord. So we just lift that situation up to you. Thank you for your blessings tonight. We thank you for your word. Lord, help us get into it. And Lord, glean some truth from it. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for all you're doing, how you bless us, how you work with us. And Lord, thank you most of all for our salvation. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, All right. We are in Leviticus chapter 11, or we're studying Leviticus chapter 11. We're talking about cleanliness. And we'll hit a couple of passages as we go through this tonight. The first one will be in Ezekiel chapter 36, if you want to turn there, just kind of as a review. But we said last time when we were Bible studying on this on Wednesday night, we said last Wednesday that ultimately God says what? God says that he is going to make the Israelites clean, right? He's the one going to do it. Something that never was possible through the Old Testament legal system and through the Old Testament sacrificial system. Now, he was going to make them clean, but it was going to be through, and we talked about this last Wednesday, it's going to be through the new what? The new covenant, right? And that means the coming of the Messiah. Amen? So, if you got your Bibles open to Ezekiel 36, do you have them? Do you have them there? Ezekiel 36, right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, somewhere around there. Ezekiel 36, are you there? Verse 24, for I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Amen? All right. So basically, what we have is that even in Old Testament times, the prophets were pointing forward and saying that ultimately cleanness can only come by the work of God himself. True cleanness can only come when the internal part of man is transformed, i.e. salvation, right? Spirit come to life, yes, amen. When he's cleansed and when he has a heart of flesh rather than a heart of stone. In other words, cleanness can only come ultimately through the new covenant, amen, and through the coming of Jesus Christ, we sang about it, whose blood cleanses us from all sin. So the prophets look forward to that. We also touched on, as we were closing it out last Wednesday night, cleanness or uncleanness in the New Testament. We gave some examples, or gave an example of the clean concept in the New Testament. When we come to the New Testament, we discover immediately that our Lord begins to talk in terms of clean and unclean, and particularly as the scribes and Pharisees are disputing with him. And remember, in Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 19, we read that lengthy passage. For example, they debate whether Jesus and his disciples can come in from outside, right, and then begin to eat dinner when they have not ceremonially, ritually washed their hands. Remember, we asked that question, what's going on here? Mark 7, 1 through 19. What's going on here? Well, this is something the Jews added to the interpretation and the meaning of the Old Testament, right? These first century Jews had more emphasis on cleanliness that was by their tradition than it was by Scripture. And so, what can we say about this matter with the Pharisees? Mark 7, 1 through 19. The truth, we said, was right there in plain sight. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was right before them. We talked about how the disciples comprehended more truth than the Pharisees and scribes, but no one really understood the implication of what Jesus was saying until after his death and his resurrection. Amen? So we're moving on now. We come into cleanness and uncleanness in terms of food, all right? That was what cleanness and uncleanness in terms of food was what distinguished a Jew from a Gentile. The two groups had to eat separately, right? A Jew, in order not to eat of the kinds of food God had prohibited, could not eat in a Gentile home because undoubtedly there was going to be contamination there. That built up a great wall of separation between who? Between Jews and Gentiles. And that distinction was designed in the Old Testament, but it had to be set aside in the New Testament. It was designed in the Old Testament, but it had to be set aside in the New Testament. Now, the book of Ephesians says the middle wall of partition has been torn down. The enmity that existed there has been taken away. And the Jews and Gentiles have been brought together in one body. Does anybody know what that body's called? The church. That is correct. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, somewhere around there. Ephesians chapter 2. You find it? Ephesians 2? Yes, Ephesians chapter 2. You got it? Amen? All right, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Ephesians 2, beginning in 14. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You throw that on your friends there. You throw that on your friends next time you see them. Amen? Say you need to get into a church. Yeah, amen, right? The distinction, therefore, that separates Jews and Gentiles have to be what? Got to be set aside. Things got to be set aside. Remember Acts chapter 10? Let's go back there real quick. Acts chapter 10, as we're kind of putting all this together in our mind's eye. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. We've read it, but let's read it again. Acts 10, 9, you got it? Those of you with us online, good to have you tonight. We're covering some Bible here. Hang on, keep up. Acts 10, verse 9, it says, on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Remember that? But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter was like, "What?" Yeah, but Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." Again, a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Thus in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 16, God said in a vision to Peter, who was what? What was Peter? He was a Jewish Jew. Now you couldn't even get more Jewish than Peter. This Jewish Jew, that he wanted him to eat of these things which Peter recognized as being unclean by Old Testament definition. And Peter said, oh no, oh no, no ham sandwich for me. Right? But God said to him three times, what I have called clean, don't you call unclean. Make sense? He takes the arbitrary definition. God takes the arbitrary definition of clean and unclean. Something is clean or unclean because God in His sovereignty declares it to be just that. Make sense? That means if God redeclares that something which was unclean is now clean, guess what, friend? It's clean, right? And Peter had difficulty understanding that, right? When Peter finally got the message, he went to the house of Cornelius and he ate his ham or his bacon and tomato sandwich. We really don't know. Scholars are debating on that. And he shares the gospel with him, and they in that household are saved. The whole church, which is predominantly Jewish at the time, has to go through the same struggle that Peter is going through. And Peter has to remind them that God no longer has distinguished between Jews and Gentiles. Now, we're in Acts, so you can go to Acts chapter 2. But don't lose your place because we'll come back to Acts 10. Remember in Acts chapter 2? What happens in Acts chapter 2, man? My soul, that's a powerful chapter in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit came down on the Jews, man. It's the day of Pentecost? Is that what's going on? Yeah, day of Pentecost, right? Now, when the gospel was preached to this Gentile group, guess what? The Spirit came upon them exactly the same way. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. I told you not to lose your place, right? Hopefully you can get back there. Acts 10. Are you with me still? All right. Acts chapter 10, verse 24. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised up his hand, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. As he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him, and yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. Praise God for that. Amen. That is why I came without even raising an objection when I was sent for. So I asked for what reason you have sent for me. Cornelius said 4 days ago, to this hour I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He's staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Verse 34, still there? Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Amen? The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Right? You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Oh, it's getting good now. It's getting good. While Peter was still speaking these words, while he was getting his gospel preach on, right? The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked him to stay on for a few days. God does not distinguish Jewish Christians from Gentile Christians. Ain't that right, Ron? Amen. They are a one body. One body. Therefore, they err, and we err, Jews err, and we err, Christians or Gentiles err, if we seek to maintain the distinction of food laws. Can't do that no more. Now, guess who backslid on these distinction laws of clean and unclean? Guess who backslid on this? That's right. Old Peter. In Galatians 2, the Apostle Paul had to jump all over Peter. I mean, he got square in the middle of old Apostle Peter because Peter was now sitting only with a Jewish group, and he was inferring to the Gentile group that if they wanted to become part of this Jewish group, they had to act Jewish. Paul jumps all over them and says it's not just wrong, but it is a denial and a contradiction of the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Why did Paul say that? Well, this is because the gospel of Jesus Christ not only removes the barrier between men and God, but it removes all barriers between Jews and Gentiles. The distinctions do not count. Therefore, those distinctions cannot be maintained. Does that make sense? Yes, yes. Amen. In the New Testament, we find chapters like Colossians chapter 2, which says these practices which have to do with external things have no value in overcoming the struggles with the flesh. That is, overcoming the flesh is an internal issue. We talked about that this morning, did we not? An internal issue. It's worked out in part, not an external issue handled by these kinds of prohibitions. Now, back to the Old Testament, because we are in Leviticus, right? Back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the struggle forced them, Jews, to distinguish themselves from other nations. For those kinds of food stipulations meant that an Israelite could not have real intimate interaction with a Gentile because intimacy almost often came around a dinner table. That's just where you got to know people, around a meal. So if you did not eat with Gentiles, you did not have the intimacy of communion that you would have had otherwise. Make sense? Remember that when the Israelites started eating and drinking and making merry with the Canaanites, that's when they started intermarrying with them. And that's when the prophets and the good Lord above got all upset with them, right? So God's distinctions with regard to food helped to maintain the distinction of Israel as a nation apart from Gentiles as a nation in the Old Testament. The food regulations distinguished them as a people, identified them with God as his people, and reminded them of the principle of election that God is the one who defines what is clean and unclean. The food regulations forced the Israelites to be meticulous about everything they did because they realized how easy it was to become contaminated under the laws of cleanness and uncleanness. Now, the good news tonight is, if you have Christ, you can eat your ham. Amen? Or your mud bugs. Or your shellfish, right? All that's clean. Well, preacher, what about the Jews? Man, I'm glad there's a Jewish nation. I'm glad there's a people called Jews and Israel. But they come here. Amen. They worship with us, right? And all the things going on, they trying to maintain that Jewish religion. You know, not trying to pile it on here. But that ship has sailed, friend, right? Remember when Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." And that great thick curtain separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies was what? Rent in twain, right? And no longer would God's Spirit rest over the Ark of the Covenant, but God's Spirit would rest in the hearts of His people. Amen? You are the temple, right? You are the temple. So what about all this carrying on of the Jewish temple and all that jazz? Way above my pay grade. But I would just say, based on Paul's writings, that ship has sailed, right? Amen? That ship has sailed. So it's one body, amen? Jew and Gentile and all alike, red, brown, purple, it don't matter. Yellow, we all what? Uno momento body, yes? Right? Speak of the Spanish, speak of the Korean, speak of the Italian, it does not matter. Amen? We are one body. You get it? Amen. Well, you think about that when you see somebody this week. Don't look like you. Don't talk like you. You know what? They may have Christ just like you. Right? They may have Jesus just like you. Think about that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed. We'll pick it up coming this Wednesday. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time tonight. Thank you for the singing and the praising and the praying and the reading of Scripture. So good to read your book tonight, Lord, and just let it wash over us. We pray, Lord, that we leave here cleaner than we came in, washed by the Word of God, presented as your bride tonight. Thank you, Lord. Give us a good week. May we be able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord this day. And Lord, may we just take the gospel and the word with us as we go about this coming week. May we be people of grace and people of peace and people realizing that we just one group ready to be raptured on home one day. So Lord, thank you. We love you and we praise you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You folks are dismissed.